again life, I'll try to cut this short because I know we got to go, but the born again life is a scripture we started with, John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." Born again is a new life. Born again is like being born, a baby being born into the world. Are they in a new environment? Wow, are they in a new environment? Then the mother's womb, everything's nice and cozy and closed up, and they don't even have to bother eating or drinking or doing anything. Don't need the eye. The eyes are closed. You know, I don't know how much they can hear. They claim they can hear some things. And so, boom, here they come into this world. And it's like, that's why they get out of the mother's body. Is it maybe that's why they come here crying? It's like, ooh, I didn't expect this. So here you are born into the kingdom of God, and you're kind of, at first, you're a little bit rootless, and you don't know exactly what to do. So that's what we've been talking about. The next slide says, once born again to eternal life, then we grow. You can't grow till you're born again, can you? A baby can't grow till it's out of the womb. I mean, grow in the sense of dealing with life. So you're born again, and now you grow. And the next line I put up here is this. But how can you tell you're growing? I'm going to give you some quick scriptures. How can you tell you're growing? The first one is in Ephesians chapter 4. And the first part of that is Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. Then the next panel has, this is Ephesians 4. The next panel has this, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What is the goal of a Christian person saying, I need to study my Bible, I want to go to church, I want to pray, I want to help other people. You know, service is a part of your growth. Service is, have you ever noticed that children when they're first born, they're real selfish. If they don't get a bottle, they cry. And you say to the little one, they can't even talk, and you say, well, you know, I haven't had my lunch yet. You're just going to have to wait. Do they understand that? No, new believers sometimes are we come into the kingdom kind of self-oriented. But I guarantee you, you will grow. If you pay attention, you will grow to be a different kind of person where you start thinking about others. How can I help? That's what deacons do. That's what elders do. It's the idea of leadership. And you'll grow in that. You may never be an elder or a deacon, but you'll grow in that. And he says, what's the goal of our Christian growth? Why are we trying to grow? He says, so we can attain or become, gain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? After a few years of growth, you should look a little bit like Jesus. I don't mean physically. I mean, when you talk to people, you won't sound like the rest of the world. When you talk to people, you'll be different. Things will be different. When you deal with people, when you are going through trials, people will see a difference in you about the way you handle trials. The ultimate goal, I don't have that scripture up here, but the ultimate goal of the Christian growth is this. One day, when this is all over, I mean, the universe, and time ends, and everything is wrapped up in God's will, and it's all over, and God says, that's it, I'm closing down, the earth and all the works there will be burned up. Jesus returns, according to Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, Jesus returns, and when he comes, there'll be a loud shout. There'll be the voice of the archangel. There'll be the trumpet call of God. And Christ will come. And it says he'll bring with him all those who have died in Christ. Well, their bodies are on the earth, so what's he going to bring with him? Them. The real them. They are spirits. You are a spirit. You'll leave your body behind. And if you're a believer on Christ, you'll go to heaven to live with Jesus until the resurrection. Heaven is made for spirits, but heaven is also made for a body. Jesus has a body. He got his body back. He died, and the third day later, 3 days later, his body re-energized and came out and lived again. And for 40 days, he walked the earth as a resurrected dead man. Now, he was different. His body was different. He could walk through walls. come through solid things. His body, his real body. He showed the disciples the nail prints. He ate with them. He ate fish with them. But that body was so different now, it could be just his spirit could transform that body. So he, after 40 days of teaching them about the kingdom of God, he went back to heaven in that body. There is a human body in heaven. That never happened before. There is a human being, a human body, seated at the right hand of God, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, now resurrected in a glorified body. Read Revelation chapter 1. You'll see some of the pictures of what that looks like. That resurrected body. The Bible says in two different places, one of them's in 1 John, one of them's in Colossians, I think, where when Christ comes back, bringing everybody with him, the cemeteries and the oceans and all that there is will empty out all the bodies. You say, well, how could you reconstitute a body after 4,000 years? God made the body, he can reconstitute it, right? So all these people, the saints of God, come back and they receive their bodies again, just like Jesus did. They receive their bodies again, and then they look just like Christ. Your goal in life is to look just like Christ, starting now. Learning and growing and learning to walk this earth the way he did. That's why we talk about all this. So that you begin to grow. I see growth in a lot of you. I see growth sometimes in me. We grow in things. We understand things better. We understand things differently. People say, well, I read the Bible one time. I didn't get nothing out of it. Well, don't quit. Don't quit. That just means you weren't ready for it. That just means you have some places in you that need to be open to God so you can receive from God. You got to open your heart. You got to open yourself up to God if you ever want to get close to him, because he's not going to make you. That's something people forget. God will not make you love him. God will not make you come to church. He will not make you read your Bible. He will not make you join the church or work in the service that we've been talking about. It's up to you. Oh, he's waiting. Jesus in Revelation said, behold, I knock. I'm at the door knocking. Let me in. Can you let me in your life? He's talking to the church there in Laodicea. He wanted that whole church. He said, you keep me shut out. Why were they keeping him shut out? Because they're a wealthy church. Big wealthy church. He couldn't get in. So growth means I'm headed to that amazing goal. Paul talked about it and he said, So forgetting the things that are behind, I press on. I press on, I press on toward the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he talks about the end of that being resurrection. My body looking just like Jesus' body, a body that's perfect, a body that will never die again, a body that's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Oh, you will love it. Talk about a makeover, ladies. Yeah. Well, I'm just like Jesus. What does he look like now? A glorified man sitting at the right hand of God. A glorified human being sitting at the right hand of God. Don't you like it? Because all those loved ones you've got that went on to heaven, now you know what they're waiting for. You'll see them again. They're not just in your past. They're in your future. They're not just in your past. They're in your future. They want you to make the same trip. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says. They want you to make that same trip. They're pulling for you. You think grandma, grandpa pulling for you, those good people you had in your family that were devout Christians, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt they're with Jesus. What would they tell you if they could come back right now? Oh, don't miss this. Whatever you do, don't miss this. This is glorious. This is glorious, and we're still waiting for our bodies to be reconstituted to be like Jesus' body. Now, I say all that because y'all got me off the subject. But it needed to be said, didn't it? So, once born again, you grow. What are you growing toward? That's that scripture in Ephesians, right? What are we growing toward? The fullness, all the measure of the fullness of Christ, everything he has for us. Look at the next slide. I'll hurry through these because we've got to go. But Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. What is that saying? That's saying that part of our spiritual growth is that we humble. Does God like humility? He's not talking about weakness. He's talking about you don't have to get your way all the time. That's humility, right? I just don't have to get my way. If I don't get my way, sometimes you ought to say, thank you, Lord, I didn't get my way. Humility says I'm under my Father's dominion, rule, reign, and I'm going to do what he says, not what my flesh says. So if you humble yourself and say, I don't have to be the big dog all the time. I don't have to get everything I want. I just want to serve. Get this in your heart. I just want to serve the Lord. How many more years do you think you're going to have? I just want to serve the Lord. I want to please the Lord with all my heart. I just want to do what if he calls me to... I've seen it happen time and time again. We got so many, like J.L. said, so many servants in this church. Somebody in here will spill something on the floor. And I mean, two or three people hop up to clean it. Nobody says, well, I don't do that. I don't mop floors. I've never heard anybody say that around here. Oh, let's get that cleaned up. It's a team effort, right? Jesus said, this word here says, as the Son of Man did not, why did Jesus come? So he could rule and reign over the earth and be served by everybody? No. Why did he come? Now, the second time he comes, he's going to be in charge, right? But the first time, he said, I'm showing you how to do this as a human being, believer in God on the planet. Here's how you do this. You serve, and you put your pride, just throw your pride in the garbage and say, I'm not. I like what one guy said. He said, he became a Christian, and somebody said, well, you got to be careful. You might ruin your reputation. He said, I didn't have one. If you think you had a reputation, if you think you're all of that, probably ought to put that away and say, well, no, I just want to serve God. I want to serve this little church and help it grow. I just want to see other people come in and know the joy of the Lord. Jesus said, that's why I came. Are you better than me? Isn't that what he said? That's how I did it. You think you're better than that? No, we're not better than that. Next slide, let's get another scripture, because you see more. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you're not to be like that. You who? Disciples. Don't be lording it over people. Even if you're in a job, in a position where you have people working for you. Paul wrote to the slaves in his day, Christians who were slaves and had masters who were Christians. He said, you serve that master anyway. You're a slave. You serve the master anyway. And he said, God will, if your master is a Christian also, God will take care of that. Some of these slaves and masters realize they're brothers in Christ. It was not a slave-master relationship anymore. We're all in this together, aren't we? Don't lord it over people. Next one. Instead, the greatest among you should be adored by everybody. If you're looking at the slide, it doesn't say that, right? It doesn't say that. Should be like the youngest. Well, what's the youngest? The youngest one usually is told what to do. Little bitty one running around. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do this. You need to be that one, he said. If you're the greatest that there is, forget all that and act like the youngest. The one who rules, like the one who serves. Servant leadership. Did you know elders are called overseers in the Bible? Shepherds. The elders are called overseers. And there's one place in the Bible that talks about it. It's in some of the things I wrote about leadership. That they literally are to rule. You're supposed to, if they ask you to do something, you're supposed to do it. They don't ask you to do anything wrong, of course. But they're not to rule the way you think. What does this say? Rule, do not rule like Gentiles, but be like what? The one who rules is like the one who serves. Servant leadership. In other words, elders lead by example. Not by decree. They lead by example. So you can look at the older folks in this congregation, and they, if you see something worth imitating, you say, oh, I see how they do that. I imitate that. What's the next one? That's Luke 22, verse 25 and following. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. This is an amazing passage. I wish we had more time. We'll take it up later. What's it say in Ephesians? Or Philippians, rather. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this attitude. Do you have an attitude? Everybody has an attitude. Have this attitude in you, yourselves, which was also in Christ. Well, what was his attitude? He who existed in the form of God. He was God along with the Father. Read John chapter 1. It's not on the screen there. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. God became flesh. Well, how did he do that? His Son came as flesh. He emptied himself, it says. He did, even though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He could have come to this earth and ruled it, still be ruling it, and have his way in everything. But that wouldn't save us, would it? That wouldn't save us. He needed to go to the cross to save us. So what did he do? Even though he's God's Son, he got off the pedestal, he got off the throne, and he came down, entered a human body, and washed feet, and died, even though he didn't have to die. He said one time, I could call legions of angels when he was facing the cross. I could call legions of angels. Do you think if Jesus had said, you know, he prayed in the garden, not my will but yours be done. That's humility, isn't it? Not my will but yours be done. Is there any other way we can do this? He really was hurting. It was killing him. He said to the disciples, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. It was working on him. You couldn't stand. None of us could stand what he was going through because he was perfect and sinless, and the sin of the world begins to creep in on him. And it's imploding him, it's crushing him. And he wants out. But he's not going to, his humility, he wants out, but he's not going to bail out without the Father's consent. Is there any other way we can do this? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. If at some point in that he had said, Father, I can't. I just can't. Get me out of this. I just can't. What would have happened? I think there'd been enough angels show up to scorch the whole earth. And we wouldn't have eternal life. Are we supposed to live like this, like Christ? The goal of your Christian life. A lot of Christians don't even have any goals in their Christian life. They say, well, I go to church. That's like a football player on a professional football team that won't ever come to the games. He said, well, I go to the team meetings. Well, you ain't going to play on our team then. That's all you do, go to the team meetings. If you don't actually play ball, if you don't actually come out when there's a game. So, Philippians 2:5. Go home and read that one. That's a good one. Last slide, we'll finish with this one. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Is service to others, especially in the context of the church, the body of Christ, is service to others a part of your spiritual growth? Did Christ serve others? Is he our example to get to the spiritual pinnacle we want to be at, to be just like him? Yes. So you can't be just like Christ unless you put your pride aside and serve other people. However, he directs you. Listen to God. He'll direct you into how you need to serve. You can't do everything for everybody, can you? But you pray and you listen. And you think of somebody and you say, she probably really could use a phone call right now. And you call her up and say, how are things going? Let's pray. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in all its various forms. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. We serve as part of our spiritual growth. That's how you know you're growing. One way you know you're growing is you're actually doing something with what you're learning. Paul wrote about some people that were always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they weren't doing what they were learning. They just weren't doing it. Serving. We're gonna pray over our notebook here. Most of you, pardon me, most of you know that we have names of a lot of people in here that don't know Christ. About 31 pages of names. We pray every assembly, unless I forget, pray every assembly over these names. So join me. You just pray in your own heart. I'll be praying. Father, we do bring these folks before you again. We know that you are not reluctant, but we know when we stand in for people and pray for them, they may never pray this prayer. They may never ask to have Christ in their life. They may never ask to hear the gospel. So we pray for them, and we know as soon as we pray, Father, that you're working in their lives to see that the gospel comes into their heart. But we also know, Father, that the evil one is still alive for the time being, and he's going to try to confuse them. So every time we're together, we renew this prayer. We pray again, Father, for these individuals, those that have eternal life and have fallen away, those that don't know you, those that have never accepted Christ. Touch their hearts, Father, we pray. Send people across their path that can help them, someone they can relate to, someone that can make the truth plain to them, and they see it and they accept it, and they come into the kingdom. We want to see the kingdom grow. We know the kingdom grows every day. We want to see it grow more and more and more. So we thank you, Father, for hearing and answering our prayers. We ask you to do that in Christ's name. Amen.